We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit elkhorncomputer.com, then give us a call. elkhorncomputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
Former black shirt. Former Super Bowl champion.
Scott Chanley's my guest.
The speed and the explosiveness, I think, should excite Nebraska fans. Game film is always going to be better than practice film because everybody's going 100 miles an hour.
Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ.
Being a Nebraska kid growing up and not only wanting to play for Nebraska and run out in front of the sea of red, but as soon as I knew I was going to be a defensive player, that becomes one of your goals, is to get one of those black jerseys.
Scott Chanley, breaking things down.
Attack, 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 maybe give up a big play. You can live with that, but you got to be aggressive on defense. A couple guys here or there, kind of brother-in-law on it, not going full speed. It's hard to tell. What's going on?
Scott Chanley joins Nick now on Game Time.
How do you say no to Scott Chanley, am I right?
Sounds great.
Let's bring him in. Boy, Scott, I'm not even sure where I want to begin. I mean, it's certainly did not think that Nebraska would be 0-2 at this time. I guess we'll start, how do you assess, you know, you run into somebody that goes, hey, man, what's up with your Huskers 0-2? Like, there's been a lot of, it's been kind of like, if anything can go wrong, it's gone wrong so far. Like, how do you kind of just make sense of the first 3 weeks of the season here?
Well, after the first game got canceled, I jokingly said someone needs to lift this curse on the Nebraska football program. And if it can go wrong, it is going wrong. I mean, you look at all the hype around the program, Scott coming back, and then you start with the first game being canceled, and then losing to Colorado, and then losing Martinez, and losing to Troy at home. I mean, it's just a snowball of unfortunate events. But hopefully it's almost like you got to hit rock bottom before you can start to build it up. And I think, obviously, we all think brighter days are ahead. But it's really hard to see Nebraska 0-2, especially when you have at Michigan and at Wisconsin coming up in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I want to start with this Troy game. I mean, I felt like Andrew Bunch didn't play bad, but it was kind of more of what wasn't being called from a play calling standpoint that was kind of telling to me. There wasn't a big vertical passing attack. There wasn't a lot of quarterback run game. As you were watching that offense on Saturday, what stood out to you?
Well, just I think as a Nebraska fan, it's frustrating. I mean, let me first say, I do LSU postgame. I saw this Troy team go in to Tiger Stadium last fall and beat LSU, who's a really good team. Troy's a good team you can't sleep on, but it should never happen to a Power 5 big-time program. I think the frustrating thing for me, and I hate to say it because Nebraska fans hate when I say it, but the overall talent level on this Nebraska team is just not there. And, you know, everybody tells me, well, Osborne never got the top recruits either. But I think recruiting services this day and age are as good as they've ever been. You look at all the people winning, going to playoffs, it's teams with the top recruiting classes. And you look at guys going to the NFL. The overall talent of this Nebraska team should not be on par with Troy. And I felt like by watching the game, they had just as many big, fast kids as Nebraska did. And sometimes you have to look past that end on the helmet and be real exactly what you're seeing.
What was the difference between the Colorado offensive line performance and the Troy offensive line performance?
Well, there was a noticeable difference. I think, you know, I harp on the skill guys and say that Nebraska should have the advantage. But you should be able to roll out of bed with Nebraska's big guys, O-line and D-line, and just control the line of scrimmage. Even if it's handing the ball off, you know, 75% of the game, you should be able to wear a Troy front down and be able to run the ball more effectively than they did.
Yeah, that's frustrating. The sloppiness that we've seen through two games. Like, I kind of chalked some of the sloppiness up in the Colorado game. Like, hey, you know, first game of the season, that kind of can be how it is. But second game was frustrating. You know, 10 penalties again, 3 turnovers, even special team stuff, just like attention to detail things. What do you attribute some of the sloppiness to?
Well, just a number of factors. I think you can look at the fact that it's a new offense, a lot of new guys playing, a lot of guys first year on campus playing. And you saw the evolution at Central Florida. Hey, the first year wasn't pretty, and then second year, things just clicked. And that's the case with most new coaches who come in. And Coach Ross, Scott being from Nebraska, is no different. It takes time to get used to running what you're running. And you can do it as much as you want in practice, but until you get into that live action on Saturdays, it's different. And you're right, it's been too sloppy. You can't beat yourself come Saturday, no matter who you're playing, and we found that out even playing Troy.
You know, I thought one of the bigger plays was when Muhammad Berry got taken out of the game because of the targeting call. And there was, I mean, I thought Honus does some decent things. I think the one thing he does is he'll hit you. I mean, he'll come downhill and he'll rock you. But he missed a few plays. I guess when you look at the two running plays that went for touchdowns, the final two touchdowns for Troy, what did you see from the linebackers in those spots?
Well, anytime you get big plays, explosive plays in the running game, you can always attribute it to somebody not being in their right gap. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, every time, it's somebody not being in a gap, because every defense guy is responsible for a gap, and somebody might get hook blocked and you have to replace them. And it's just not having gap integrity. And when that happens, the entire defense breaks down. And like I said, like we picked on the offense, executing on game day, the defense is no different. When you get into game speed, those gaps suddenly change real quickly, and you have to be able to anticipate that.
Yeah, I mean, would you still say, for me, if you are looking for, I know in the midst of an 0-2 start, you try to look at things that have been positive. I don't know how people can't look at what they've seen from the defense through two games. I mean, Scott, hell, they held Troy to 17. I mean, Troy scored 17 points offensively, and Nebraska held them to under 300 total yards. Like, who wouldn't take that every day of the week?
Yeah, especially this day and age in football. You have to stop comparing this Nebraska defense to the 80s and 90s, because the football is played much differently. And 300 yards nowadays is almost equivalent to 150 back in the 90s. So I think the defense is playing much better. From a schematic standpoint, I couldn't be happier. I mean, guys are pressuring. They're up in the line of scrimmage. They're giving different looks. They're confusing offensive linemen. Then it just comes down to executing, like you said, standing your gap on run plays, executing the fundamentals. But I love the scheme and the pressure looks.
So what do you think happens? And I know we're all speculating. We don't know what the deal is. But, like, I mean, how do you think Frost and the staff should go about managing Adrian Martinez here? I mean, because yeah, he's practiced every day this week, but Frost has talked about how they're trying to make the best decision for him long term too. Like, that's a tricky deal.
Very tricky. And, you know, I don't want to be a guy who says, oh, it's a wasted season, because honestly, I think we all anticipated Nebraska being 3-0, hopefully, and probably 2-1 at this point. And it's looking more like a season of 4 or 5 wins, hopefully. And do you risk your program changing quarterback to win 4 games? That's the question they have to ask themselves. Because honestly, if he plays against Troy, I think he's a big enough factor that they win that game.
I agree.
But you have to look at his health and the future of the program and how long he can be around to help your program get back to that top 10 level.
So how do you see this game this weekend with Michigan? I mean, certainly defensively, Michigan's really good. Offensively, they're still kind of a work in progress, but you know, the big X factor is Martinez's status. Like, how do you, when you heading in, and knowing what you know about Michigan and Nebraska, what are you looking for this Saturday?
Well, I think everyone's going to be counting Nebraska. They're playing on the road. They just lost to Troy. Going to Michigan to play is no easy task. Regardless who the quarterback is, it's going to be an environment they've never seen. In my opinion, if Martinez isn't 100% or even 90% healthy, I don't know if you expose him to that environment not being healthy. The rest of the team, I just look at it this way. When your quarterback hasn't had many starts, Martinez or Bunch, whoever it is, everybody else has to pick up their level of play. O-line, you need to block better in the run game. Running backs, you need to run harder. Defense, you have to stand up and say, hey, we can't allow more than 17 points a game, and hopefully it's good enough to win. So if everybody else can pick up their level of play, special teams as well, that's how you overcome the inexperience at quarterback going on the road.
Scott Chanley's my guest. Scott, what – you know, one of the things Coach Frost brought up the whole after the game, kind of the whole concept of buy-in. Like, hey, if you're not on the bus, get off now. And that's kind of been something that's been discussed throughout the week. In your experience in college and then in the NFL, what has that process of buy-in been like for you personally, and then the teams you've been on?
It's extremely tough, and I can't even lie. I've gone through many coaching changes. There's been coaching changes I resisted, and it turned out to be the best. I mean, I've given the example in New Orleans, lost my favorite coach after 08, Gary Gibbs, was with him forever, and they brought in Greg Williams as D coordinator, and didn't want it, didn't like it at all. We won the Super Bowl that year. Greg ended up being the best coach I ever played for, and then Greg got fired, and they brought in Steve Spagnuolo, and nobody bought in. I saw it firsthand. Nobody bought in. We were used to the old scheme we ran. Everybody questioned everything we did, and we set records for being one of the worst defenses in 2012. So the one thing that I'm worried about is the fact that players and coaches are bringing it up. It tells me there's not 100% buy-in, and that's always worrisome.
Yeah.
Especially in college, you have kids going to colleges for Coach Riley or even before that, Coach Pelini, and they don't always buy into the new guy or the way he's coaching things.
Yeah. Because I think the hard part thing is when the results aren't coming in the form of wins, like – That's another reason why the Akron cancellation was so huge. It was like, it doesn't matter if you're playing, you know, roast beef state, you still go win a game and that helps solidify the buy-in. Like, what's the process like when the results aren't there? Is it more on Frost when the results aren't there to solidify the buy-in? Or is that when it's more on the players to stay the course?
Yeah, you brought up a great point. Winning cures everything. And, you know, my example I said about Coach Greg Williams coming in, we started off the season with a win, 2, 3, 4. We went 13-0 and won the Super Bowl that year. So it was easy to buy in when we're winning. And when you're not winning, the coach has to continue to emphasize trust in the process. You got to believe in the process. To me, though, a coach can say it over and over again. It has to come from the leaders, those guys with the C on their chest. Those guys have to get everybody rallied on board. They have to get the Mike Riley supporters and Mike Riley guys to buy into the fact that this is what's best for the program. And when you're not winning, that's tough. It takes a lot of faith.
Have you ever felt like there's on the teams you're on, and football is different than basketball, so I'm curious how you'd answer this question, that you want everybody to take ownership, but you also can't have 100 guys talking, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like you talk about how it needs to come from the guys with the C's. Like, there's a, you know, you're either, you know, like, what is it? You're either a chief or you're an Indian. You know what I mean? Like, there is that balance of like understanding who needs to talk and who maybe isn't that guy to step up and talk.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. And it's always easier when you have that guy at quarterback who's been around a long time. It's hard for Martinez, even as good as he is, to be very vocal.
Good
this
point.
Week or last week.
Yeah.
When you're hurt. And you're a young guy.
Great.
My example is probably not the best example I give in New Orleans. We have number 9, Drew Brees. When he spoke, it didn't matter who was in the room. They all shut up and listened. And until you get that guy to battle you through the rough waters, it can be very divisive. There can be little groups who split off and segment and complain. And anytime that happens in a locker room, it's hard to win games.
Yeah, it's a great point on the Martinez thing. I mean, it's like, you know, the quarterback – it always has a ton of responsibility on their shoulders, and when you're young at that position and a guy's banged up, that there can be a void felt in that department. So Saints got back on the board here. Are the Browns? I mean, the Browns must be a little better than people think.
I'm telling you, they're a good team. Now the Saints played an ugly game. The sign of a great team, I think, is you can play bad and still win in the NFL. I think the Saints they're a better team than the Browns, but they probably could have lost the game if Cleveland had a kicker. But watching Cleveland up close, that team is talented. Defensively, they have really good players. Offensively, they're still trying to figure things out. But it's a very talented team. I think easily a .500 team. They're easily could be 2-0 if their kicker makes them field goals in the first 2 weeks.
Tell you what, if the Saints, and you know, not that this would make them feel better, but it's like at least they saw Ryan Fitzpatrick go shred the Eagles in the following week. Like, how do you see the? I mean, barring Fitzpatrick falling off a cliff and the Bucks losing the next two games, like, is Fitz going to keep that job?
It would be hard for the coaches to bring Winston back if Fitzpatrick is still playing like that. We've seen Fitzpatrick over his career. He's played a long time. He's got on hot streak. There's a reason he's kind of bounced around to 7 teams because those hot streaks usually don't last very long. But
yeah.
If he keeps playing like this, you absolutely have to do it, and I don't think anybody in that locker room organization is going to have a problem with it. Even Jameis Winston, as much as he would hate it, you would have to understand it when he's been playing the way he has.
Hey, how big of a deal is some of the drama in Pittsburgh right now? Whether, you know, we know about the Le'Veon Bell stuff, and then I'm sure you saw the tweet from, you know, Antonio Brown saying, you know, someone questioning that if he could put up the same numbers without Big Ben and being in Pittsburgh, and he said, trade me and let's find out. And then Antonio Brown wasn't at practice on Monday. Like, this is a lot of smoke around Pittsburgh right now.
Tons of smoke. To me, I think the sign that we always had in our locker room in New Orleans, and there was a big sign that said, when you walk in the locker room, it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody cares who gets the credit. And right now in Pittsburgh, everybody wants credit for why they're putting up the numbers they're putting up, especially Antonio Brown. He's kind of becoming a problem. a little bit in that locker room. And I've always believed in every coach has a shelf life. And it seems to me like Mike Tomlin's shelf life is almost expiring. He's losing control of that team. You've never seen that really with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been a very buttoned-up organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to lose control of that locker room, and that's a bad sign in Pittsburgh.
Interesting stuff. Scott Chanley, Blackshirt, Super Bowl champ. Scott, awesome stuff, man. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely. Take care.
You got it. Scott Chanley joins us every Wednesday. That was good. That's a really good point he made. I didn't think about the fact that, like, think about how a Nebraska locker room, or how a locker room for a football team from a leadership standpoint usually plays out. Who's one of the guys that you would just assume on every team is a massive leader? The quarterback. Well, Nebraska is really young at quarterback. And the one thing that I will tell you, too, is it's kind of hard to lead when you're hurt. It just is. Like, when you're not out there, it's just challenging. And a guy like Martinez is still probably trying to find his voice, find his way on what his place is in the leadership pecking order. And so I think when we talk about, you know, leading in that locker room, usually the quarterback has a strong voice, and you wonder how strong that voice is right now. And that's not necessarily an indictment on Bunch or Martina. It's just the reality of the deal with those guys being young and newcomers. Bunch has been around for a year, but nevertheless, you know, when you're, you know, scout team doing stuff, it's just, it's different, right? So it's a good point from Scott Chanley. All right, mailbag, 15 minutes. Get your questions for me to Corey at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious or silly, doesn't matter. Best email question is going to win some food to Oscar. Sage Rosenfels, Jim Brandstatter, all on deck. Put a bow in the first hour next.